Okay, so last time we did Shitas HaRambam on this very complicated Meshulashim Metushaim. Time. Okay, so Gemara continues. So remember, what was the minimum size between trees in order for them to count? Josh? Minimum distance between trees. There we go, that's the word I'm looking for, distance. Kadesha, exactly. Kadesha Bakar, right? Bakar over Bechelav. So the Gemara, therefore, right, builds on this, right? That was the next line in the Gemara. Hayu Arba'a Vabakar over Bechelav. Shnayim Ve'ena Bakar over Bechelav. Mechaven Shena Bakar over Bechelav. Va'at Roe Otan Ki'ilu Chamisha. So if you have four trees that are spaced, and two which are not, so halachically, how much do you view it as?
Only
four items. As five.
According to
right? What? Based on that, right, five. Why five? Because the four are spaced, and two are not, and therefore you discount
one.
Right? Meaning, but you don't discount both, right? Because one of them you can get rid of. You're not going to get rid of both. Right? You're going to get rid of one, assuming you have this this gerusa. Correct, right? Right. And what's the fine? And again, right? You could say that it's because of agriculturally you'll have to do it, or it's based on how people will view it, right? Both of those are possible, as we've seen before. Good. So now, what do you want to tell me based on gerusa, Josh? Okay, so if you look, even though if you look at the chilufei gersaot here, right, they have a chiluf gersaot, and they know that if you look at Chaim Kanievsky, right, our folder sounds a little bit different, right?
I think we have that
gersaot. It's not a gersaot, it's an interpretation, but you don't have it?
We have it on the bottom.
Really?
We have...
Okay, well, I have it. Right, so he notes there's two ways, whatever. There are two ways of understanding how you get five. What are the two ways that you get five? How do you get to five? Four, we understand. How do the other two become one?
Either
two become the same or
one.
We discount one.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? Right, either because they're too close together, we imagine that they're collapsed into one big tree, right, because they're not properly spaced, right, or... So that's what the footnote here says, right? Which is that, right? So the right, Chaim Kanievsky assumes that what it means is we discount one, either one, right? And therefore, whatever the quantity requirements are, you need to make sure that it's four and one, right? Not the combined of the two, right? You discount one of the trees. Yeah, whichever one you want. That's all, right? You're five.
Yeah.
What?
Yes,
you choose the best one, and just because you have to uproot, you're going to uproot one of them. Which one are you going to uproot? The less productive one, right? The other one, in theory, is
you don't know which one
is that you're going to combine them,
because,
right?
Because the space that they need
is right, exactly. Because the space is too tight, right? So what you'd say is, I don't know, they draw nutrition from each other, they're viewed together, and therefore, if combined, they have enough, so then that'll be fine. Of course, you've got to figure out and plug it all in, because according to the Ravid, how would this work?
According to the Ravid, it's weird. So the first
right, what it would mean is, right, when you get to 60, it must be down to five and not six trees. Right, that's how you would understand it. Since all that matters from is total, right, that you have 60 mana between all of them. Right, so if you had the four of them produce, I don't know, 10, right? Let's say all six of them produce 10 each. So according to the Ravid, it wouldn't work. Right, because you have to discount one of them. Right, if you think that you pretend one of them doesn't exist, you treat it as five, it would work. Right?
But if you're combining that according to him, then this might
If you combine it, right. If you combine it, it would be fine. If you discount one, it would not be other way around. Right, yes, right, then that's right. Right? Obviously, according to the Rosh, what would you say? That each of them must have 60. So what's he telling, giving you a hat there for? That one of those two don't.
Yeah.
Right? Because according to him, every tree that exists must produce 60. And if two of them are spaced too much together and one of them produces 60 and one of them doesn't, so then you're fine because the one that's spaced too closely, you pretend it doesn't exist, then it's fine. Right? Okay, fine.
And if you say that each set of trees produce...
So then work it out. Exactly. If each of them is three, then you got to figure it out, and then same, exactly. Fine. Okay, next line. Let's not get too bogged down in it, but next one. Hayu chamisha. What if there are five trees? Okay? So, flukta de Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. So this maps onto a machloket of Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan in the context of Kilai Akerem. What is Kilai Akerem?
When the vineyard is going to make...
Right, when you plant in a vineyard multiple, right, wheat and barley and whatever and the like. The tanin and tamon, because the halacha is there in kilayim, the kerem shunasu al pachot me'arba amot. If you have a vineyard that is planted on, right, a very small space, so there is less than four amot between rows, Rabbi Shimon omer eno kerem. Rabbi Shimon says it is not counted as a kerem, and therefore what's the difference? The difference is that there are different distances that you have to keep between a kerem and other produce, or an individual grapevine and other produce. Okay? Right? You have to distance four amot from a kerem, right? As opposed to a single tree, you need six tefachim. Okay? Got it? Right? So he says, if you overpack a kerem, so it's not a kerem, it's treated as individual grapes, and therefore you only need to keep the wheat, let's say, six tefachim from it. The chachamim omrim, kerem v'rom ha'im seyot ki'ilu einan. And the chachamim say no. Right? What do? You imagine it as a kerem, and you just discount trees in the middle, right? But it's still a kerem. Right? And therefore they say the Chachamim's position maps onto ours, which is rather than saying, because what's the logic, right? What's Rabbi Shimon saying? That when things are overpacked, the whole thing's going to collapse, and therefore, right, you discount everything, right? And the Chachamim say, no, it's just too packed for all of them to survive, and therefore, right, and then, you know, you could try to figure out exactly why that is. Fine. Now, there is a slight problem here, which is the Gemara says this maps onto their machloket. What should it have said? Right, that it's subject to their machloket. Right, so this is a bit problematic. And presumably, according to this, in our sugya, Rabbi Shimon would disagree. Right? What? No.
What is the topic like?
It's just how it is sometimes in the Yerushalmi.
Like a dollar in like a
block. It's right, tiflukta. I don't know why the stuff is there.
Well, maybe it's indicating that it's part of the
it could be.
There are supposed to depend on the law. Or the law depends on the...
Well, that's the simple... Right? I mean, that's what you would want it to say. It doesn't sound that way, right? You could read this either as subject to the machloket, right?
Or
it's similar, and the Chum Shita seems to map on, but they're not actually the same, which obviously you could distinguish, because Kilayim isn't the same standards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they note, at least I have the Chilu figures out, but you could look at the Gra himself, right, that the Gra is a little bit of a different version here.
Yeah.
That you do have?
Yeah, about the Hayar, about the Inamakar over the Gilead. That one.
Right, now according to the Gra, this gets very fancy. Why?
It's all one big kid.
Well, sort of. Right, because he's saying like this. If you have six, so then both the Chachamim and Rishon LeZion would agree. Why?
Because you're going to have three left over.
Right. Right, exactly. Right, meaning, right, how does the Grug, right, read this? The Grug reads it like this. He says, if you know what, if I read you the Hebrew one, it's not going to help you. Why don't you just read it? Read it. Yeah, read it from the Grug.
According to our version, where it's text, from the Grug's version, read Tayu Arba,
yeah.
Over the Gel, Agra, San, Kiilu, and Samusha. If there are four trees between which is king of cattle with its plowing implements cannot pass, you must view all of them as if they are not there. If there are five trees, it all depends on the dispute between Rosh Hashanah and the rabbi. According to this reading, the Gemara first addresses a case where only four trees are planted in the Beit Shah, and each is within 4 amos of its neighbor. Both the sages in Rosh Hashanah agree that they fail to comprise a field of a tree. Rav Shimon would say that it is not a field of trees because they are planted too close to each other. And even the sages who view every other tree as if it was not there would be left with only two trees, which do not comprise of a field of trees. The Gemara continues that if, however, there are five trees in the Beit Shah, and each is planted within 4 amos of its neighbor, it will always depend on the dispute between Rav Shimon and the sages.
Okay, is that clear? No? Maybe draw it? Okay. Why do I not have a marker? You want to get me a marker? I'll quickly draw it. Right? The Gra is a very neat way of reading it because his gears is not 6, his gears is 4. Right?
Yeah.
1 second. I'll show you. It's pretty easy. Once you visualize it, it's easy. If you don't visualize, it's not easy. Okay? That's what it is. Good. That's the grub. Yalla. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Shenemar v'charish v'chatzir tishbot. Lo atya dila al resha. Right. The point of this pasuk is to tell you that what? In charish in lohen elatzor chan. Shenemar v'charish v'chatzir tishbot. Right. At this point, we do quote the pasuk for the 7 shviyit, which is, you can only do it for their, right? You can only work for the sake of the plant itself, because of the 7 shviyit, because of the pasuk, right? And then this gets back to what we've talked about before, right? Right? I mean, basically it's saying, why are there limitations? Because of the 7 shviyit. Why the 7 shviyit? Because of the pasuk, which goes back to who is that, Rabbi Kiva, right? There's no name here, there's nothing, we have no idea who this is, right? We don't know if it's everybody, we don't know if it's Rabbi Kiva without telling you, we have no idea. Okay? Fine. And of course, the only thing that's worth noting is that according to this, the simple implication, as we've seen before, is that according to those people who hold to 7 shviyit is d'oraita, that includes what? The entirety of the prohibition and not just 30 days, not just whatever, right? Because here it's talking about Ara Pesach, right? Yes? Right, the whole prohibition, right? So according to the one who holds to d'oraita, then it seems that it is right, d'oraita throughout. Fine, then the Gemara continues, Ein Sarach Lomar, right, then we get Rabbi Shmael in the Mishnah, which again, it's not clear, is this arguing, is it not arguing, Again, it's weird that in this Mishnah we have both the drasha attributed to Rabbi Kiva and the drasha attributed to Rabbi Shmuel, and this time with Rabbi Shmuel's name, and none of that made it into the first halacha, which only further complicates this hurtful analysis all the way at the beginning, which took us 10 shirim, right? But he says, Rabbi Shmuel kedaite, Rabbi Shmuel amrein omer b'misuria sheyatze katzer omer shu mitzvah. Said, Rabbi Shmuel, if you remember, had said, how does he understand b'charesh v'katzer tishbos, that the only type of plowing that is asur on Shabbat is that which is not for a mitzvah, but if it's for a mitzvah, then it's permitted on Shabbat. And what is the case of plowing that's mutar on Shabbat? The Omer. And he says it only works if you think that it's actually a mitzvah. And the Gemara notes, well, there are other machlokot that parallel this, such as, are you allowed to bring the grain from outside of Eretz Yisrael? Right, so the people who think you're allowed to bring the grain for the Karban Omer outside of Eretz Yisrael clearly hold that specifically plowing and harvesting the grain from Israel is only ideal, but it's not ma'akev, it's not actually part of the mitzvah itself, and therefore you wouldn't be able to do it on Shabbat, because since it's replaceable, right, so violating Shabbat would make it that would be a reason to not do it. But if you think that it can come from Chutz Laaretz, that is part of a series of positions that focus on there being an active mitzvah to specifically harvest the produce from Israel at the right time, meaning the night before the 16th of Nisan, right, meaning the night of the 16th of Nisan, going into the 16th of Nisan, for the Omer. Okay, I will note, and maybe we'll get to this later in the year, that one of the big questions in halacha is what do you do during Shemitah for the Karban Omer? What's the problem? If you think that you need produce from Israel, what's the problem? I mean, you can, in theory, things might grow by themselves. But no, you're allowed to harvest for eating, right? So maybe you're allowed to harvest for the Karban. But what's the problem? Everything's hefker, which means that someone might take it. Right? People might decide that they want all the grain that has grown and take it, and there'll be nothing left. So how do you ensure that there's some grain left over for the Omer? I mean, this becomes a very interesting topic in halacha. Okay, fine. Let's move on to the next Mishnah. Fine.
Me and Josh spent like all of the hunt going through like all the different opinions on the 4 and 5.
You want to go back to the 4 or 5? What do you want to do on it? What?
I mean,
okay, you tell me, what do you want
to
add on the 4 and 5? Okay, you want
to
go back to the Reed Baz? Fine. Yeah? Fine. So, well, first of all, the Reed Baz, you have to understand, whose Girsa does he have?
He has
the Gra.
Yeah, but not. He changes the Gra still.
Right, meaning he has 4 and 5, not 6 and 5, right?
Yeah, but he changes it to the 6.
Right, so, fine. You want to read the Reed Baz? We'll read the Reed Baz. So Baz says, "Hayu abav abakar over bechilav shnayim and abakar over bechilav." Pirish, dininsa ben elu haarba shnayim she'ena abakar over bechilav. Ve'ishlomer nechshavim hashnayim leechad v'neshar shlosha. Right. So first of all, he holds which svara, that when you have 4 trees, do you discount or do you combine? Right. You discount one or you combine. You combine. Right. He says. Right. Right. The shnayim leechad. Right?
Some people hold in the first case to
right?
combine, some people hold in the second case.
Okay, fine. But according to the Reed Baz, when you have 4, so you treat it as 2 of which are not spaced enough, so what do? You count 2 and combine 2 into 1. Right? And therefore, it's viewed as a field of 3, of right? And 2 of them are not average. 2 of them are combined into 1. Right? Lamayin afkamina. So again, if you think that each of them requires 60, so that means 2 of them would require 60 independently, and 2 others would require 60 in combination. Right? If you think that every unit of 3, so that would not affect it at all. Right? If you think that they need to each have 20, right? So they need to be mishulashim. Right? So then it would be 20, 20, and the other 2 combined would need 20. Right? Fine. Then he says, "Al ze amar kevin shina makar v'chalav at ro kilu shnayim." Right, it looks like 2 become 1. The taima, what's the reason? What?
It looks like there are 2. Forget the become 1 part.
Because he says 4 turn into 3, which means, because look what he says right before. V'yesh lo mar denechshavim ha'shnayim le'echad v'nishar shlosha. Two become one, and therefore we have three total. Two.
You use them as if there were two trees.
That's
what it sounds like.
Right. So what he thinks is, right, when you look at his Perush, right now, what does he say? Right? Does he think this is about Nirin? This is how it views, or he has an agricultural svara for this? Agricultural. Right? What's his argument? His argument goes like this. That Valkane Lomani Harish Ve Sali Lanar Alalu, the Harish Muala Lurachecha Karkavatoila Sharashim, right, since the purpose of plowing is to soften the ground for the roots, Valkane Ashlosha Lanarum Dimbe Irach Mata Esa Vesar Krovim Bekhdesha Vakar Vechilov, you have three that are two packs, Mu'ilit Bashuda Sharatim Sharashim, Al Kola Beitsa'ad Kharshin Kol Beitza Bishvilan. So normally what will happen is you have three planted is that the roots will spread out. Normally, roots have space to go out to the side, but what happens if you have two which are too close together? They won't. They'll hit each other. He said, basically what's going to happen, right? What's his logic? Why does he think that three becomes one? Sorry, that two. Let me try this again. Right? Let's look at the picture. Right? How does he understand it? Right? He understands... Where did I put the markers? Here. Right? This is how the Rambam understands it. The Rambam says if you have four, right? So, you view it as, right, this is an independent tree, this is an independent tree, and these two become like one tree. What's his logic? He has an agricultural reason. Which is, if these are trees, so what happens? They have roots. They go out. They have enough space. Right?
They spread through the whole nation.
Right? And therefore, that justifies plowing to take care of this tree. Right? Same thing for this one. Right? But, these two are the space the most. Right? Here. Right? These two, they're too closely spaced, so what happens? Basically, he says, right, what's the argument? Why is it better for you to plow in the field? Because you need to soften the land so that it's good for the roots, right? So he says, if you have... Wait, really, I should do it this way. Is there a napkin or something?
Because we don't have any razor.
Yeah, that's fine. Right, let's do this better. Fine. Right, this is another problem with understanding. He says, listen. So the point is, like, right? Okay? Here. Fine? You have these two trees. Right? And then you have these two trees. Okay? So, my grape drop. Wonderful. Right? The point is that what it's mutter to do is to keep these trees alive, essentially. Now, how do you do that? So we do it like this, right? When you have these roots that are going out through the field, however they go, right? So when you plow, right, it softens the ground. It makes it these roots can spread out, right? Because if this is not plowed, and basically his argument is that if the land over here is not plowed, so what's going to happen to the roots? The roots are going to go... down, right? And they're not going to be able to spread out as they want to do. But if you plow and soften this land, then they'll go this way also, right? And therefore, he argues that the whole sugya that we've been doing, remember we said throughout, the big machlokes in the sugya is, why is it that we're more makil on orchards? Is it because of the way we perceive it and some whatever? Right, or is there an actual agricultural reason for it? And he's saying there's a very good agricultural reason for it, right? Which is that when you have enough trees that are spreading out throughout the field, right, so now in order to keep this orchard alive, what do you need to do, Kobe?
Yeah.
You need to soften the land everywhere, right? So he says, but why does therefore he think that when you have two which are spaced, but two which are not, that you view it as three rather than, and not by discounting but by combining. Right, what's the logic?
Because they're
originally
together.
Exactly. Right? He's saying, what is this having understood it? He said, listen, right? When they're too close together, what happens is they still have proofs. Right? Right? And yes, are they damaging each other?
Yeah.
Potentially. Right? But the point is that at the end of the day, because, right, they taken together these two trees. Are they going to both grow smaller? Of course. Why are they going to grow smaller? Because then each is taking the nutrition that would have gone to the other tree. But that's not a reason to imagine that one of them doesn't exist. The whole point, why do you view them as combined? Because essentially what happens is that in terms of nourishment, right, in terms of what they need, because they are damaging each other, they're impinging on each other, right? Together, as a unit, they will produce what one big tree would have produced, right, in that space. What? Ah, and therefore he says, this is according to who? So now he says, right, now let's look, right? So let's continue now in the Radbaz, right? The Radbaz, right? Understand so far what he did conceptually, right? Right. So now what does he say? Right. So now he says, right. So now he says, fine. Mo'il is pashtun asharishim al kol beit sabat chor fan. Ani minat sharishim is pashtun min atzad mashen ki b'shnayim akrovim shen b'akarvin chela. Shem is pashtun asharishim min atzad. Lo ma'ani leit sa'av al kein adroa otan ki lein shnayim. Hayu chamisha. What if there are five? Perish.
What does that line mean of ki yivu in shnayim? What it looks like? Finally it looks like one. It doesn't look like two.
One second. Hayu arba v'agav v'chaylav, shnayim. Second, al zeh amar, v'tayim lechem shnayim v'agav v'chaylav. V'eirach mazav v'zah, shavakar. Oh, right. So he seems to have an implied, right. It sounds like what he has is an implied statement that if there were three, however, right, then there would only be two left. Right? I think that's what he's saying, right? I think. Right? It's a little bit weird.
I thought it was
right?
Two different groups of trees.
Right? I think so, right? It's time. Fine. Mu'il v'hani milk sharashim v'drim v'atzad. Mash'engim v'shnayim hakrovin. Or there's a Gersa problem. I'm not sure. Let's see. And then he continues. Hayu chamisha. Peru shnayim be'emza habakar uver v'chelav. Tali v'pluk t'ru shimon rabanan gabe kerem shu natu apachom erbamot. He said that's only if it's four. But if it's five, and the spacing problem is where? In the middle. Right? So then the Chachamim discount the ones in the middle, and Rav Shimon does not. Right? And the Chachamim would say you get rid of one.
So how do you switch it from being combined to discounted?
So he says, if You're right. I remember what I learned it the first time. It doesn't get less confusing. I take it back. Right? This is his Hava Amina. Right? I think that this is his Hava Amina. Right? Yeah, I think that's what happened. Right? I think this is his Hava Amina. Right? His havamina is like this, right? Is that you combine it, and therefore you have three. What's his maskana?
He goes like the second time.
He did
Yeah, his maskana is that when they're dishes and hang together, right? No, they like kill each other, right? And therefore you're only left with two total. And therefore, it's usher. Right? He's saying, right, that's what he thinks, I think that's what he's doing. Or that's his transition.
Okay.
Right? Is that his hava amina, is that they're combined, so you have three.
Well, no,
I'm not saying how you can just put them all together. Well, that's the machlok of the chachamim. And then he said, what's because the chachamim hold that.
Well, no,
right?
You have to change the entire hairstyle. You have to change the end of the
Gemara
to
say... Oh, he did change it, of course. He changed the hairstyle dress.
Yeah.
I think there's an obvious maskara, right. Right, the Havamina is that we combine them.
Yeah.
Right, and then the maskara is that, no, it's nine total. Right? And therefore, this whole thing is, when it's four, right, we discount, right? What it's point, right, I think, according to Rav Bazar, you got this correct, is that the Havamina is that four becomes three, right? And the maskana is, no, it's not just that they're drawing, right, less nourishment, but basically,
it's like a reshimmon then.
Yeah. Right, and therefore, what does he say? And then he goes on and he says, right, right, but when there's four, there's going to be no machloket. Why not? Right, and then he says, but if there's five, right, meaning, no, he's saying according to four, there's going to be no machloket at all. Right, both will say it's us or why, because the chum always discounts it, right?
Then there's three, the chum discounts it, there's three.
What?
The chum discounts.
Well, according to him, you have to discount.
Why do you discount both?
I think, what's he going to say? Right. If there's five, get there. How much are gonna? No. Wait. No. Okay. This is why it's so confusing. It is very badly written, right? Because if you look at the Chamisha, he says no. Perush shneim beemsa bakar berchila v'tali befluktes rishim rabbanon gabe kerem shunatov b'chem rabban rishim and savar devik mo get there. How much rabban shvili ron sim kilo einan. Mashen came by Arabo Shnayim, man, Habakar over Chalav Eino Norman Ron Nachat Kilo Eino. No, you're right. No, wait. That was Havamina Maskana. No, then he goes back. No, he goes back. No, wait, what? No. Oh, God. Right? He goes. No, he seems to go back. Right? He's saying, no. When there's four trees, it's the original. Is that we look at it as one. Right? As combined.
As combined.
And therefore you have three.
Okay.
Right?
So, but it doesn't turn into what he's trying to take him off.
No. Right? Because he seems to go back and forth here. Right? I had trouble with this when I covered Rusa, and now I'm having trouble again looking at it. Right? Is that... Okay, let's try one more time. One more time. Right? Hayu arba v'bakar v'chilav shnayim v'en bakar v'chilav. Perish. Dinimsa ben ilu arba shnayim shen bakar v'chilav. Amongst the four, there are two that are not spaced enough. The Yisrael Marnei Shavim HaShnayim Le'echad V'Nishar Shlosha. Right? So definitely, at this stage, he says four becomes three. Like that. Right?
Yeah.
Good. Then he says, Al Zeh Amar, to that we respond, Kemen Shavar Chavar Chelav Ad Roaz An Kilu Shnayim. Meaning, not two, not four to three, because two combined, but four to two, because two get discounted. V'tayima, V'chemen Shavar Chavar Chelav, Ena Shavar Shemal Chavar 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 Chavar
Chavar
Chavar Chavar Chavar Chavar Chavar Chavar Chavar No, he's saying, look, here's the issue, right? Saying when there's four, in the end of the day, even if they need nourishment, what are they not doing? They're not spreading out to the side. And what you need in order to permit plowing the whole field is that the roots are able to spread to the side. So even if they're getting nourishment, they don't require plowing. Right? Because the whole legitimacy of plowing is to soften the earth where the roots are actually going. Right? But they're not when they're like that. Right? Right? But then he says, shine total. Right. Meaning they're two total, and therefore you can't plow it. You have to do only the tree itself. But he says if there's five, so then...
then all of a sudden they don't, they do start spreading out and you could tell for all of them?
Right.
How?
Right, because then he says, right, because you'll have three that will spread, one, three, and five,
but
and the middle
those,
two...
How will those magically spread?
Because they'll go, right, the ones on the sides will go this way, right, one, three, five, right, so one and five will go out this way, right, and the one in the middle, right, I guess what he thinks is that at that point, right, that one will go, and then...
In this case, also the one
yeah, I'm not,
the far right will also spread out to the right.
Yeah, unless he thinks it won't. I don't really know. I don't. It's not great. It's very odd. I'm not 100%. I'll be honest. I'm not 100% sure I understand it. Yeah. No. It's confusing. I think that's what he's saying, right? Is that once there's five, according to the Chachamim, you can discount two, right? According to Reb Shimon, you have to imagine that it's divided, right?
Where Reb Shimon is.
And there is not a Karen.
Yeah.
Right. It's not a Karen because according to him, what you have to do is imagine that they're divided. Yeah. Okay. Yes, it's confusing. I think that's what he's saying. But, yes. Okay. Like I said, the Mepharshim of the Yerushalmi sometimes can be very confusing. Okay, let's try to do the next halacha. Okay, let's see if that's easier. Yeah. Slow shalei nosher, slow shalei nashim, harei lo mitzarfin. Okay? So, if you have three trees of three people, you can still count it as a field. V'chorshin kol beit tavish shilan. V'kama yehei b'nehen. Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar k'deisha b'akaro ver v'chilav. Okay? And you need, right, minimum, k'deisha b'akaro ver v'chilav. Right? Yes? What? Yeah, what? Fine. And then the Gemara says, Tanei Rav Chiya v'ilanot shel adam echad v'karka shel adam Echad or Acher mitzarfin, v'charshin kol beitzah bishvilan, right? They combine and you can plow the entire field. And Amar Rabbi Yosi afanan tanina under Rabbi Chiya Rabba shlosha ilanot shlosha anashim areil mitzarfin v'charshin kol beitzah. And then what do you have? You have a Gerser problem ad Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Do you guys get this far?
No.
Okay, good. So let's have fun with this. This is great. This is so much fun. Right? Okay. So you guys, first of all, tell me, why is it you think that the Mishnah would tell you that if you have three people and three people and three trees in a field, why would you, what's the logic to say that it counts as an orchard and therefore it has all the hetero of orchards? So definitely it's agricultural, right?
It's three trees.
Right. What would be the havamina that it wouldn't count?
You don't view it as.
Right. Is that in addition to it being agricultural and necessary, it needs to be that someone looked at it and said, this is an orchard. And maybe you would have said that if they're owned by different people,
it's not really an orchard.
That's not really an orchard. Right? It's not one orchard. Right? Because even though agriculturally it is, right, that's one way of looking at it. What's another reason why you would think that it wouldn't work? Give me another reason why you would think it doesn't work. It's not just so simple. It's just people don't view it as an orchard. There's another logic. There is an agricultural reason. Right. Meaning, basically, there's still a difference when you have three people in the field who are plowing, even though they all draw nourishment. Remember, why is Harisha Mutter? Because specifically, the plowing is necessary for the way that these trees are going to be used. But you might have thought that when three people own trees, they treat their own tree as a single tree, and they don't care what everyone else is doing, right? And therefore, they're still going to plow in a different way, even though if they would work together as a unit, right? What do you mean? What do you mean? If my worst enemy has another tree in this field, I don't necessarily take him to account, right? If no, that's not true. You might. It might have been. The halacha is that it isn't. But you might have thought that, look, because if you have, let's say, worst enemies, they don't talk to each other, right? And they each have a tree in the field, right? So now, right, let's say there was only one tree in the field. Would they plow the whole field?
No.
No, they would plow their tree, right? And if they owned three trees and were treating the whole field together, then they would plow the whole field. But here, in order for them, you might have thought that in order to justify them planting, plowing the whole field, what would you need?
The owner of the
either own all three or at least work together, because otherwise, what are they going to do? What? You're plowing on this day? I don't care when you plow. I'm doing it on my own schedule. Go away. I don't care. Right?
If it isn't even their field, why do they care about plowing the rest of it? Besides just from what they're treating?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying, is you might not care, right? So you might say them, as you do care, because since the way the trees naturally grow once they're all there and the way that they are drawing nourishment require you to do the extra work of plowing the whole field, so regardless of what they care about, right, that's what's happening, right?
I just think plowing is something like, keep in mind, the time, like the schedule of plowing? Like,
schedule, how much, right? I don't know, right?
Isn't there like an objective way?
No, I don't think there is. Right? There's an objective way between a tree and an orchard, but if you have one tree, you might not care what anyone else does. Right? Or you might not, right? You might not relate to it.
Okay, so what is life?
I don't, timing, quality, distance, I don't really know. Wait. Okay. Right, but you could see why there'd be a hava. I mean, again, the simple read of the Mishnah is that in the end of the day, we do treat it as an orchard, that all that matters is that, look, there are three trees in the field, and that's all we care about, right? Fine. What did the Mishnah say, right? As long as they have Kadesha Bakar Over Bechilav, right? Yes? That's what it means. This is the simplest understanding of this Mishnah. However, if you look at Chilufei Gersod Bet, they point out that there is another way of doing this, right? There is another way of understanding this. No? Okay, so I'll tell it to you. Right? The simplest way of understanding this Mishnah, again, is that even if the three trees, only three different people, are close together, just not too close, right?
Yeah.
So then you can plow the whole field, right? Meaning?
Right, if you have, and this is the area of Mitzah, even if you have three trees here, and this is sufficient, or this is about Karo Erev and Hela, right? So then you can plow the whole field, right? Going this way, right?
Yeah.
But that's the simplest
understanding. As long as there's space, it doesn't matter if they're all packed on one side. The Rashash, however, says, the problem is, as we've seen before, is that why, right? In the end of the day, if it's constructed like that, what should you do, right? It doesn't need to go across the whole field, right? You could limit yourself on one side, right? These aren't triangulated. These aren't anything, right? It sounds like there's none of that limitation. And if they're so close, right? Again, we saw this in the Reb Shimon and in the Shmuel Rav issue.
And some agricultural look at the field is looking at it.
Right? And therefore, he says, well, maybe it makes sense, because when they're stuffed together, somehow the trees will figure it out themselves, and in fact, their roots will spread out in one direction. And
have to look at it agriculturally.
Correct. But that's the Rosh Hashanah. But the Chazon Ish says, disagrees. And he says, no, when you have three trees, they need to be spaced. Right? Right? The Chazon Ish thinks that lahalacha, right, in order, in general, for you to permit plowing in the whole field, right, they need to be spaced out, right, as we saw earlier on, right, they need to be, I don't know, like this, right? Because then it justifies plowing the whole field and not just plowing, let's say, this area, right? That's how the Chazon Ish does it. What's the problem? The problem is this Mishnah. Right, where it seems to pretty clearly say that there's no problem as long as, right, they have the minimum space. It doesn't matter if they're triangulated. It doesn't matter how much their space, as long as they meet that minimum threshold. Right? Um, So therefore, the Chazon Ish has a totally different read. And he says, right, so he says, this is not how you have, this is not how to understand the, this Mishnah at all. It's not three trees. Rather, right, rather the Chazon Ish says, the way you have to understand this,
he's saying nine of each first has three trees.
Is he says, the case is like this, right? If you have many, many trees in the Beit Sa'ah, right?
There's enough space, et cetera, between all these trees, okay?
Right? He says, then what exactly is the chiddush here? Right? So he says, this is how you read the Mishnah. That this line of Tadesha Bakara Rechelav is not going on this line at all. Right? It's going on the previous Mishnah, which is the case of 10. Right? He has a big chiddush. He says, forget this whole thing. Right? The line of Tadesha Bakara Rechelav is just telling you that when you have 10, in order for it to count as 10, what do you need? That there needs space. And that line is going back on the previous one. But in fact, if you had three non-spaced trees, right, you would not be allowed to plow the entire field. Three different people. So he says, right, so then, there is a luck, you can still treat the field in three different people. Right, so there have to be a bunch. Because if there are only three, right, on this side of the field, that would not be enough, right, because it would not be necessary to plow the entire thing. Right, he says, the line of the nature of our carbon dioxide is only going to have 10. Right?
He doesn't think you're
going to
get 10 trees in the field. Because the picture has a lot more
entry. Yeah, whatever. Okay? Yeah, great pitch. Fine, wonderful. Okay. Yes, I know it's confusing. It's fine. Okay, let's just try to get to the end of this Gemara. Right? Fine. Then the Gemara says that Amar of Yosef, right. Now, of course, So then he says, right, Amar Rav Yosef, Aftanin, Rav Chiya, Rav Shloshin, Lanot, Shal Shlosha, Anashim, Rav Mistarfin, V'choroshin, Kol Beit Sa, right, that if you have three trees of three people, they combine. Now, what's the problem with the Gears of Ad Rosh Hashanah? Exactly. Right? Is that you have the Gears of, why would you... Right, so most of the Mepharshim take out the Girsa of Ad Rosh Hashanah. Why? Exactly, correct. Because what do they say? They take out the Girsa and say what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to plow it as a field, which is meaning until whatever, until Shal Shem Yom or until Shavuos or until Pesach, whatever the case. Maybe, but not until Rosh Hashanah. Right, and the rationale for saying that it's only that you can't do it until Rosh Hashanah is that, again, what's basically the point of this whole Yerushalmi is that even though you might have had a Hava Mina, that when three people own a field, you don't view it as a field, the Maskana is you do own it, you do view it as a field, and if you do view it as a field, you view it as a normal field, and a normal field halacha is until Pesach, until Shavuot, but not until Rosh Hashanah. However, several of the Rishonim actually have the Girsa until Rosh Hashanah. Like the Rosh and the Rush. So, why would you say until Rosh Hashanah? So one way would be to say that this is after the Takana of Rabban Gamliel, when we got rid of Tosefet Shvi.
Yeah.
Right? But that doesn't make sense, because, right, if that were the case, then what should the halacha be? Right, some people say you're allowed to plow this until Rosh Hashanah, only when there's no Tosefet Shvi. What's the problem with reading the Gemara that way? Then you don't need it to count as a field. Once you got rid of Tosefet Shvi'it, then it doesn't matter whether it's an orchard or individual trees, there's no prohibition before Shemitah. Right? Right? So it doesn't make any, so, right? So this doesn't make any sense. So instead, many people have other perushim, in fact, trying to justify Ad Rosh Hashanah. Right, so if you look, for example, in the Rosh Cirilia, right, in his first answer, what he says is this is after the Takana of Rabban Gamliel. But then he comes up with a fascinating chiddush, and he says, no, maybe it really does mean Ad Rosh Hashanah. Why? Maybe we're dealing specifically with a case. There are certain exceptions to the rule. Of a netia which looks like a zkena, right? Which we're going to see later on, of a young tree that looks like an old tree, where we actually give it until Rosh Hashanah. And he said maybe we're specifically talking about that case.
So it doesn't die?
What? Yeah, that we need to do it all the way until Rosh Hashanah. There are other answers, as you can look at the footnote here. There are several.
Why do you apply the entire field for just one tree that looks like it's my guy?
Say that again?
You would be able to plow the entire field in Rosh Hashanah for just that one tree?
For those three trees.
It's only one of them is a young one of those.
And the other, there are other Kedushim. Let me just see if I can pull one up for you.
If only one of them looks like it's a young one that looks like an old one, you would be able to plow the entire field for just that?
No. That's a field of trees. One second, let me just pull up.
I thought we were saying that once the three trees produce enough, then you can plow all the trees up first.
Correct.
So why is it saying
so?
But as we'll see, there is a difference between young trees and old trees.
But if only one of them is a young one, it looks like an old one.
I'm not necessarily only one of them.
But if only one of them does, then would you be able to plow the entire field first?
No. I do not believe so. Okay, one second. Let me just pull up the Torah Tzra'im here. Torah Tzra'im Shvi'it. Okay, so I'll read you the Torah Tzra'im. The Torah Tzra'im says, right, he quotes the Girsa of Rosh Hashanah, and he says, just like the Rosh does, I don't understand why it would be until Rosh Hashanah, but he notes that the Rimi Gash in Bava Batra has the Girsa that when there are three people who own the land, right, three different trees, you can plow all the way until Rosh Hashanah. Bishum di lo charshi la pasta la gamrei, aval b'sadeh lavani charshin el ad shloshim yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah. He says, I don't understand the Imigash. Because if you're allowing it until Rosh Hashanah, what does that imply? That it's after the Takana of Rabban Gamliel. And if it's the Takana of Rabban Gamliel, then there is no Tosefet Shvi'it at all. But it's clear that that's not what he believes, because he says that a Stei Lavan is still Aser, right, until 30 days before, right? Which means that he thinks that it is, right? So therefore, he says, here's the different svara. Right, so here's this kiddush. He says, listen, he says, Ukfiya nir'eh, t'mikor dvarav hu mirushalmi azeh. Because sovar, d'ahad d'bitel Rabban Gamliel, shnei prakim alalo, eina b'chad ha-machta. He said, Rabban Gamliel didn't get rid of Tosefet Shviit in one fell swoop. To be stay Ilan Bitel Lagamre. Vihitir at Rosh Hashanah Mishim Dilo Harshi Pazde. When he got rid of the Tosefet Shviit for trees, he got rid of it entirely. But Avol B'stei Lavan, Lo Bitel Elazman Pesach Shudur Rabbanan. Or Shloshim Yom Levnei Rosh Hashanah V'Daraita Lo Bitel. But when it came to plants, or when it came to grain, he got rid of it only until, only the expansions, but he left it Aser for 30 days. So how do you read the Mishnah? That if you have Shlosha Ilanot, Shlosha Hashim, Havamina Mitzarf L'Yoste Ilan L'Chosh Rosh Hashanah, Avo Blitz Erev Loya Mutal L'Chosh Ela Ad Shloshim Yom Levnei Rosh Hashanah Kedin Se Lavan. He said that you might have thought that if there was once a middle period where what did they do? They got rid of half of the Takana, which is that they got rid of the extension till Pesach, but by a Stei Lavan, right, by a grain field, they only got rid of the prohibition up till Pesach, but still forbade it until 30 days before. But by an orchard, they got rid of it all the way until Rosh Hashanah. And you might have thought that when you have three people owning it, you give it the Chomrot Ave, Stei Lavan, because you don't let it rise to the status of an orchard. Kamash Malan, you treat it as an orchard, and therefore you totally got rid of those Tosefet Shviit. No, because then it's Shemitah. Shemitah, there is no. No, not during Shemitah. There's also Tosefet Shviit. No, during Shemitah is also. Right, Tosefet Shviit. So that's his first possibility. You know what? I'll leave it there. He does have another parish, but let's leave it there, right? So the simplest understanding is that the years of Ad Rosh Hashanah doesn't exist here. Because if it's right after the Takana of Rabban Gamliel, then there's no Isra at all to speak of. But it's possible that, according to the Torah Tzraim, right, there was a staggered removal of the prohibition, and therefore what it's telling you is this falls into the status of an orchard, and therefore is completely mutter rather than a... Yeah, exactly. Meaning that there's no Tosefet Shviit at all. Wow. It's Mutar until Rosh Hashanah. Correct. But what the Torah Tzraim argues is that after the Takana of Rabban Gamliel, they still for a while left the prohibition on non-orchards, on Stei Lavan, on grain fields, until 30 days before Shemitah. They got rid of the Pesach and Shavuot, but didn't get rid of all the Yisurim. And therefore what he's saying is that the Chiddush is that even after the Takana of Rabban Gamliel, there were some fields that still had at least partial prohibition, and that partial prohibition doesn't apply to this field because we treat it as an orchard.
No, but what about those people say after the Rosh Hashanah?
Because they say, I don't understand, if it's after the Takana of Rabban Gamliel, there's no Tosefet at all. So you don't need any Hetzer. Exactly, you don't need to tell me it's an orchard, it's just not Aser. And if it's before the Takana of Rabban Gamliel, then it should be Aser. Right before that, right? Rosh Hashanah only makes sense, right, in a world there's no prohibitions at all. Okay, fine. That is a very complicated little halacha. The next halacha is actually not that complicated. It's really not complicated, comparatively. Right, the next halacha is the, at least the beginning of it. You know, let's take a, should we take a few minutes? What do you want? Yeah, so let's leave it. Look, the next halacha is not so bad because basically the first halacha just goes through the nature of the halacha Moshe Mitzinai of the and the history of it. That takes you all the way to the end of the next amud. What? Of Esther Nitziot, right? I mean, that takes you all the way to the bottom of Hayom and Bet. Yes, I know. That was what you guys wanted to do, right? And then, what? What? Yeah. Okay.
And you probably